This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm not actually sure what episode this is. I mean, I know the possibilities. It's either episode 364, and it's 7 years worth of podcasts, or it's 365, and it is the first podcast of year 8. And the reason that I'm not exactly sure which it is because I have talked to my kids and my wife about doing a podcast this weekend. But everybody's really busy at this point because Nett is doing the children's choir, and she's doing the adult choir, and she's doing the worship on Sunday mornings, and there's always stuff going on, always stuff. And of course, Alan is the pastor of Praise Assembly, and his wife, beloved wife, my daughter, all of them have stuff. Two kids, stuff. So I have talked to them about this weekend doing podcast episode number 364 and just talking about the year we've had. However, there is a possibility that we're not going to be able to get these scheduled this weekend because there's always stuff. So I just had a little nudge and I thought, you know, you should just go ahead and record an extra. Just get yourself an extra one so that, you know, you're ready just in case this actually is 364. And next week will then be 365, which will be the start of the 8 years. And if perchance it just absolutely doesn't work out, then I'll just do another podcast next week. Otherwise, I'll take this podcast, slip it a week, and we'll just call it done. So anyways, I finished my first read through on the book, and that all went fine. Oh, lots of things going on with my client, my major client at this point. Lots of projects going on, lots of stuff we're working on, trying to find a platform to do business process management stuff, looking. But that's all seems to be going fine. It's just step at a time, you know, setting them up, knocking them down, step at a time. So we're good there. As far as the books go, I finished my first read-through, and that's always nice to get through that first read-through to kind of see how the book sits. I think it sits just fine. It's got, you know, it's kind of got a development, some suspense, and then we get up and start doing some action. We do some action, and then it has a nice resolution on it. Enough threads still going to keep things moving, but yeah. I think it's going to be fine. So I'm pretty happy how that all turned out. Now I'm in my second read-through. Hope to get that second read-through done somewhere around Saturday. Then I have to do a quick character read-through. And then I said I got to get started on the cover. So got to pound through the cover. Get that put together. I think we know what we're doing for the costume for my grandson. We've got him a little prop, got him a teddy bear. And so, you know, I think that's all sitting in pretty well. So I haven't quite got the pieces of the cover yet. I mean, I know kind of what I want, but I haven't set down exactly what we're doing yet. So that's going to be a little interesting. And I've got, at this point, the plan is to use some of the Cambodian ruins. Are those called Khmer Rouge? Anyways, there are these ruins in Cambodia. So cool. It's just so cool. And they've been there for long enough that there are these huge banyan trees that have snaked there. Their banyan roots all over these ruins. I mean, it is so cool. So I think I'm going to collage a bunch of those together with these banyan tree roots and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun doing them in multiple layers and just, you know, kind of this chaotic ruins. So I'm going to put that together, and then next weekend will be Easter weekend, so, you know, try to get a shot of a shot of Asher in his little outfit, and then composite him on. If I can get that all done, then I can get the files put together, get them uploaded, get the copies ordered, and we'll be on target for early April. I don't think I'm going to make April 1st for the beta release, but we'll be on target for early April. So, yay. Then I got to get started on the next one. Just got to turn right around and start pounding it out. So, anyways, it's good, it's good, it's good. Life is good, life is good. 4 down, 20 to go. But after this one, I will be in the teens. So, yay. Anyways, this week, I was reading through a bunch of stuff, and I'm constantly thinking about things. I've had some real nice breakfasts with friends this week. Got together with a buddy on Monday, and we had a really interesting, fun discussions, and got together with a buddy this morning, and had interesting, fun discussions, and we talked a little bit about some of what I wanted to talk about. I have a saying, and it's not a saying that I use critically. It is a saying that I apply factually. And I have this saying, and I may have used it on the podcast before. Come to think of it, I probably have. I apply this saying to remind myself of the fact that the fascinating relationships between men and women have some basic, fundamental things that on average, in general, every couple faces. Certainly, I'm willing to believe that there are exceptions, but I don't think there's a whole lot of exceptions to this. And that is, when seeing starlets or very attractive actresses, I have a little saying that usually crops up in my head, and that saying is, can't stay married. I was just watching the other day, I was watching Kelly Cuoco on Craig Ferguson, a clip of that on YouTube, before she got married. They were ramping up to get married, and she was doing this whole thing about, yeah, he's a tennis player, and you know, we're going to get married forever, and, you know, that's it. We're only going to do one. I only want to get married once, and he's the one, you know. 2 years later, a year later, however many of us is, can't stay married. The really sad one to me was Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, because they seemed like they had it under control. You know, they'd been married for 10 years. They got 3 kids. Hopefully they made it over all those hurdles. Can't stay married. Well, there's finally an article that came out. Jennifer Garner is doing the press. Garner is doing the press tours for her latest movie, which they say she's fabulous in, is really emotive and, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's called Miracles from Heaven. And one thing that has come out of all this, she said in the article, and I read in other places, that it's this whole process has really driven her back to church and back to a spiritual foundation. So, hey, you know, good. That's good. It's good when people you know, find reasons to renew their relationships with God and keep that communication channel open, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But she hadn't really spoken about this whole issue of her divorce from Ben Affleck and the process of it. So she finally gave this, she gave this interview with Vanity Fair, I think. And kind of answered some questions. I mean, it's interesting because the title of the article is Exclusive: Jennifer Gardner's Frank Talk About Kids, Men, and Ben Affleck. I mean, it makes it sound like she's really gonna, you know, it's clickbait. She's really gonna dish on a lot of things, which she doesn't, but she does say some things that are quite interesting. And it is true that she has been silent on discussing this. Really, as has Ben Affleck, they really haven't talked about it much. Aside from saying they're both still very good friends and they're absolutely committed to putting their children first and being there for their children, which is all admirable. That's good. But there are some things, as I was reading through this article, I thought, okay, there's another one of those touch points, that really interesting touch points. Because one of the first things she says when she sits down with the reporter, well, she's late. She says, I didn't think I was nervous. She said, but I ended up at the wrong restaurant. But then she says, as she describes this past year, she describes it as, it's been a year of wine. W-I-N-E. You know, and one of the interesting things about wine is that if you listen to a lot of the young women and women, secular women, what you hear often is the use of alcohol to help sort of boister ourselves. I mean, that's, you know, outside the church, alcohol is one way that women feel normal. It's one way to kind of deaden down that roar of the fear and the tumult. So that's just to say, yeah, that's a mechanism. And she watches TV, you know, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. You know, and she says about her marriage to Ben Affleck that it was, you know, she says it was a real marriage. She said it just wasn't for the cameras. She said it was a huge priority for me to stay with it, and that did not work. What's interesting is when you're hearing one person's side of the story, you're hearing their viewpoint. And it's amazing how sensible our viewpoints sound inside our own heads. You know? And so, because what can happen to us as human beings is we can think about something and decide why such and such a thing happened, thinking about it in our own heads, not realizing that that might look different on the outside. Because one of the things that human beings do is they equate things with action. Well, I intended to do that. So then intention becomes a substitute for action, except it doesn't really. Or, oh, I felt so bad about that. So guilt becomes a substitute for action, except not really, because whatever it is still needs to be done. But some people approach things from the viewpoint of, I felt guilty about it, Therefore, that's the same as action. And so, you know, it's really difficult when you're listening to someone give their testimony about something, and they're making claims like, it was a huge priority for me to stay in it. But how that actually works out in action might be significantly different than what the person actually thinks they're doing and can truthfully say to you, you know, I spent a lot of time with that. You know, I really tried to make this marriage work and that kind of thing. Well, okay, maybe you did. Maybe some of it just happened in your mind. Maybe you were trying to make it work, but you were trying to make it work the way you thought it should work and not what is the reality of what's happening there. You know, there's some interesting things, like the thing came out about the nanny, you know, breaking up their marriage, but she says that they had been separated for months before she ever heard about the nanny. So she said the nanny had nothing to do with our decision to divorce. You know, so something. Of course, that's, you know, pretty tough. She tried to stay away from all the social media stuff. She just tried to stay offline, stay off, and just stay away from it. And she said, in this constant 24-hour media age, unplugging takes discipline, which can be interpreted by some as indifference. Ben says, oh, you just don't care. And I say, no, it's the opposite. It hurts me so much. One moment, I have a bunch of cars going by. It hurts me so much, and I care so much. She says, choosing not to give up blankety blank, how the divorce looks to the outside world. I can't be driven by the optics of this. I cannot let anger or hurt be my engine. I need to move on. Move with the big picture always in mind, and the kids first and foremost. Well, that's good. And everybody applauds. Yay, kids first and foremost. But maybe this gives us a little hint. Because she's Jennifer Garner. Guys are pretty simple. Honestly, guys are pretty simple. Now, she says later, oh, Ben's a really complex person and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, honestly, nothing warms a man's heart like being accepted by the woman he loves. Being accepted for who he is and what he is. You know, and a lot of times when men are having trouble in marriages, their wife may be doing all the things that she thinks she should be doing, and she's earning Browning points for all these things, but it's not really what the guy is looking for. You know, what he's looking for is some acceptance and some attention. Who knows in their marriage? Who knows what's going on? I just think it's fascinating. And maybe Ben Affleck is completely different than all the men I know. But I just think it's fascinating that these two people could not make this work. And the only solution that I see in that is that, in fact, what they think they're doing for the other person is not actually getting done. And there is this gap along the line. You know, and there is not the recognition of who the other person actually is. And what would actually communicate to the other person that This is important. Getting my mail. One moment. So anyways, it recaps a bunch of stuff about her life, you know, that she was on Alias and this, that, and other, and it goes through all the, you know, people she's worked with and how everybody says, you know, she's so great to work with, she's just an amazing person, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, not to just be blah, 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 blah for blah, 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 blah's sake, but none of that is really essential if you're going to talk about the divorce, really, because... who we are as a person when we're out and we have something to prove is something totally different than who we are as a person when the doors close at night and we're there with that person that we think we're really safe with. Because then at that point, who we really are starts to come out. And we have a tendency as human beings to be myopic. You know, we see our own needs, we interpret what we should be doing for the other person, we put our limitations on that, etc., etc., and it all starts to kind of build up after a while. And I think the process, backing into my garage, I think the process that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner went through is pretty similar to the process that a whole lot of movie stars and common people go through. A whole lot of us go through. You know, she said, I didn't marry the big fat movie star. I married him, she said, and I would go back and remake that decision. I ran down the beach to him and I would again. You can't have these three babies. And so much of what we have, he's the love of my life. What am I going to do about that? He's the most brilliant person in any room, the most charismatic, the most generous. He's just a complicated guy. I always say, when his sun shines on you, you feel it. But when his sun is shining elsewhere, it's cold. He can cast quite a shadow. You know, so... all of this is, like, really interesting. Later on, when she was talking about a role in something called Wakefield, there was a love scene in it, and she said, when you haven't been kissed for over 8 months, she said, it's strange, but it's my job. It's my job. It's 9 a.m, and you think, I could really use a shot of alcohol. Then, after a take or two, after everyone has seen your boobs and your love handles, you just want to take every crew member and be like, please have mercy on me. So, you know, you would think that someone who's an actor, who is used to love scenes, who is used to all this kind of stuff, and knowing guys are pretty simple, you would just think that everything would be fine. Because she's Jennifer Garner. But I will just guarantee that all that stuff, you know, the lovemaking scenes and all that kind of stuff, is what she does for a job. It doesn't automatically translate. Because home is where she's supposed to be safe. Home is where she's supposed to be able to be who she is. And what this society does, I was talking to my buddy this morning, that we have this kind of image of this hypersexual woman in the media. And you see her everywhere, all dolled up, making the come hither looks everywhere. When in fact, it's like I've said about Beyonce, just want to come home, put on some sweats, play with the kiddos, go to bed. I'm tired. And not in that sense of going to bed. Go to bed. I'm tired. And I would just be stunned if there wasn't some of that going on here. Because, you know, she's Jennifer Garner. Anyway, so the article goes on and on and on. You know, she's sad about the fact that she's not necessarily going to dream of dancing with my husband at my daughter's wedding. You know, he said, but the kids love him. And she said, you know, people have pain. They do regrettable things. They feel shame, and shame equals pain. No one needs to hate him for me. I don't hate him. Certainly, we have beat the guy up. Don't worry. My eyes were wide open during the marriage. I'm taking good care of myself. Okay, you know, that's, I'm glad. She said at the end, I definitely put a lot of time towards my marriage, and I will now have that for myself. I don't know how I will use that. It's just fascinating. Now, I'm really glad my marriage isn't under that kind of scrutiny. And I'm really glad that I don't have the number of women coming at me that I'm sure Ben Affleck has coming at him all the time. But I also know that there are things that bind a man's heart to his wife. You know, acceptance, affection, understanding, support, respect. Just, and it just seems like those things should bind tighter. Unless there is some disconnect between what one party thinks they're doing from the other party and vice versa. And as I was talking to my buddy today about all this, I said, you know, honestly, I've come to think that maybe marriage really has three stages to it. The first stage is just ignorance. You just really have no idea who you are, and you have no idea who the person is that you're married to. Because there's so much camouflage that's being thrown, you know, in that run up, the engagement, you know, this is the one, all that stuff. So much camouflage being thrown. It's just impossible to know who that person is. And it's really impossible to know who you are. Because not only are you throwing camouflage to the person you're trying to woo, you're actually throwing camouflage to convince yourself that you're worthy of wooing this person and winning this person. And so years start going by, and some of that camouflage starts wearing off. And really that next phase is realization or revelation. Because some of it's pretty surprising. Revelation. You know, and then what comes after that is you got to make a decision. It's acceptance or it's rejection. It's the decision of, okay, this is who this person is. And me chipping about it, being unhappy about it, is not going to change anything. There are people that this is really where they mess up, because then they get in their brain that they're right and everybody else is wrong. Therefore, the other person needs to change. And so then they start, you know, kind of mentioning things and start griping about things, thinking that if they just keep bringing it up long enough, the person will change it. And then the person doesn't change it. And then they get madder. And then the person gets mad at them. And then ping, 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 ping. And once you start down that rejection trail, it's awfully hard to get off that rejection trail. And then rejection, you know, can turn into contempt, and then it's pretty much all over once you get there. But the alternate path is to come to acceptance and say, yeah, I camouflaged myself. This other person camouflaged themselves. Now we're living with the revelation, the reality of who we are. And how do we find something together? And really, the only way to find something together is that at least one of you needs to accept and love. Just for all the warts and all the drawbacks, everything, just accept and love. And realize that you have plenty of things that the other person could reject as well. And even if they do reject some of those things, you just keep accepting and you just keep loving. Because you're never going to find someone, unfortunately, who is accepting 100%. Because maybe that person's out there, but you're never going to find them because everyone is going to have their camouflage up when you're talking to them. And so there's really no way to suss out. There's no really way to vet a person and find out for sure who they're going to be after 10 years of marriage until you've just been married to them for 10 years. I am happy to have celebrated 85. I was born in 80, we were married in 88. I'm happy to have celebrated 27 years of marriage with my wife. I love her. She loves me. That's really what the important part is. And all of this other stuff, you know, it's all just part of that wonderful challenge of marriage. And I got to tell you, if my wife and I, as different as we are, can figure out how to accept each other and stay together and stay married, the Jennifer Gartners and Ben Afflecks of this world certainly should be able to do it as well. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.